This is Alive with Joseph.
With the time given to me tonight, I really want to speak, you know, what I feel God has laid in my heart, even as we are wrapping up the fasting. We've been talking about 2025, our year of light. Amen. Our year of light. Say 2025. My year of light. Hallelujah. The other time we were talking about the Goshen experience, and we established that when we speak about the Goshen experience, the Goshen experience is a prophetic representation of God's preservation, exemption, and grace over his people. When you look at Goshen, you see God, you know, preserving his people, exempting his people, and showing them extraordinary grace. Amen. And I believe that even in this year, God has gone ahead of us, you know, to ensure that we are exempted, that we are preserved, and that we enjoy his grace. No matter how dark it gets, you will enjoy the light of God this year, in the name of Jesus. And when we speak of the light of God, the light of God is the light of his glory that comes into our lives when the Lord of hosts is at work in us. And that's what has been happening in these 21 days. Every time we've sat here, the light of his glory has been illuminating our hearts. He has been illuminating our minds. Glory to God. And one of the things I love about this light is that the Bible shows us that when light comes, it shatters darkness. Amen. Actually, the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 5, it says, "And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not." It's not ordinary light. It is light that has the ability to eradicate, you know, all forms of darkness and to bring radical transformation. When you embrace the light of God in your life, it brings radical transformation. Tell your neighbor, radical transformation. Radical transformation. Hallelujah. That is why you can look at someone today, and by the time you see them, you know, in a few days' time, you don't recognize them anymore. That is what's going to happen. It has been happening in all of us. There are people that will look at you and like, is this not the same person that I know? But they will not understand that something has happened in the inside of you. The light of the gospel has exploded in your heart, exploded in your spirit to bring permanent change. Amen. For the Bible says, whatsoever the Lord doeth, it's permanent. Amen. I want to speak a bit tonight on the blessing of light. The blessing of Goshen. What is Goshen? Goshen was a specific place where the children of Israel lived while they lived in Egypt. So it was a place that was set apart, you know, specifically for the children of Israel to live there. But how did the children of Israel get to Egypt? How did this journey begin? And that's what I want to take us on a bit tonight. Amen. If you read the Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 15 from verse 13 to 14, it says, "Then he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterwards, they shall come out with great possession." This was God speaking to Abraham, even before he had grandchildren. But God, the God who knows the end from the beginning, he tells him what is going to happen to his descendants. And he's even telling him how they will enter and how they will come out. And I love what he says about their coming out. He says, "I will judge the nation that oppresses them, but when it is time for them to come out, they will not come out empty-handed. They will come out with great possession. I declare over your life that even as you're coming out of this fasting, the Lord will cause you to come out with great possessions in the name of Jesus." You will come out with great possessions in the name of Jesus. Your hands this year will handle things that you have never handled before in the name of Jesus. Just to give a bit of history from the book of Genesis, you know, God says to him, "I'm taking them to a strange land where they will serve there for 400 years. But it happened that, you know what, instead of 400 years, they found themselves serving for an extra time. Amen. They were there for 430 years. But how did they get to Egypt, really, their journey? So this is what happened. Jacob, who was the grandson of Abraham, had 12 sons. We know a lot about Jacob. He had 12 sons, and one of those sons was Joseph. Joseph, I'm sure everybody knows Joseph. When we speak about Joseph, we're talking about Joseph, the dreamer. What was Joseph's dream that got him into trouble? The dream that Joseph had was that God was going to exalt him. God, he said, God showed me that he's going to exalt me above all everybody and also above his parents. That dream alone angered everybody. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to declare over someone to you today that God is going to lift you. In the name of Jesus. He's going to lift you above your equals in the name of Jesus. He's going to lift you above people that you've looked up to in the name of Jesus. They became angry and envious of him and they sold him. His brother conspired against him and sold him into slavery. Because sometimes the people we share our dreams with are the very people that will betray us tomorrow. Listen, Joseph landed in the house of Potiphar. Joseph is sold and he lands in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife then lies about Joseph. She accused him falsely. Sometimes in your journey with God, you will encounter people that will accuse you falsely. It is the path of life. But I want to guarantee you that no matter who lies about you, God has the ability to vindicate you. If there is somebody that is struggling and you know you're battling, you're in that season where you've been accused falsely, it's too painful to be accused falsely. You're trying to lift up your head, but it's pulling you down. I declare over you tonight that the Lord will vindicate you in the name of Jesus. And this accusation is not an ordinary accusation. It is an accusation that lands him in prison. Amen. It looks like, you know, something is not going the way that God has showed him. It doesn't look like the picture that God has showed him. But I want you to know that God was still in that story. Sometimes when God has spoken to us, things happen that we did not plan for. If God has spoken to you, I want to assure you that God is still in your story. And you know, when he's in prison, he begins to interpret dreams at the prison level. He's interpreting dreams for the prisoners. He's interpreting dreams for the butlers and everybody. But what he does not know is that in that season, God is training him for a specific moment. One day the king has a dream, and through this dream, he needs interpretation. And when he was asking for interpretation, the butler who was in prison with Joseph, who had promised Joseph that when I get out, I will mention you to the king, all of a sudden remembered him. You have been tarrying in the presence of God. I declare over you that your season of remembrance is now, in the name of Jesus. I said your season of remembrance is now, in the name of Jesus. Your family will be remembered. Your children will be remembered. Your business will be remembered in the name of Jesus. I love what the butler does. He does not just end by remembering him. He mentions him to the king. Because it is one thing to be remembered, but it is a whole different thing to be mentioned. And not just to be mentioned, but to be mentioned where it matters. You will be mentioned where it matters in the name of Jesus. The right ears will hear your name in the name of Jesus. The right ears will hear about your services in the name of Jesus. And when he is mentioned, he is then released. You will not just be mentioned, you will be released in the name of Jesus. Tonight, I declare your release in the name of Jesus. No matter what it is that has been holding you bound, by the mentioning of your name tonight, you are released in the name of Jesus. And when he is released, he moves straight, you know, from the prison to the palace. It doesn't make sense. I declare over you that you will experience it doesn't make sense kind of blessings in the name of Jesus. So he is released from the prison and he moves straight to the palace. What an extraordinary miracle. But I know a God who is able to do that. To change your life overnight. Joseph was in a season where he used his gift and interpreted dreams at prison level. But this time, he was no longer just interpreting dreams at prison level. By just using that gift at that specific moment, God elevated him to the throne as prime minister in Egypt. You will use your gift where it will be valued in the name of Jesus. You will use your gift with people who have understanding of what your gift means in the name of Jesus. Listen, there are some of you have been at the back of the queue. But before today ends, before this fasting finish, you will be divinely elevated in the name of Jesus, because the spotlight of heaven is shining on you. The spotlight of heaven is shining on your business. The spotlight of heaven is shining on your CV in the name of Jesus. People will want your gift in the name of Jesus. They will want your resources in the name of Jesus. You know, what you have will become valuable in the name of Jesus. A time came when Joseph was needed in the palace. It looks like what you've been doing for God, nobody's paying attention to it. It looks like your effort in that place, nobody sees it. But the time, the set time to favor you has come. Hallelujah. Someone here, you've been using your gift to serve people, you know, who don't even value what you're giving. But today, I declare over you, you will begin to serve people who are willing to pay top dollar for your service in the name of Jesus. They will look at you and say, what you've given to me is more than what you're asking me to do. Hallelujah. Say, I am blessed. The light of God is shining upon me. But one of the things you see about Joseph is that he has the understanding of both times and seasons. You'll find people, different types of people, like the sons of Issachar, they had an understanding and a revelation of times and season. You find that sometimes people have an understanding of time, but they don't have an understanding of seasons. Or sometimes you find people who have an understanding of seasons, but they don't have an understanding of time. What am I saying? When Joseph interpreted the dream, he says to the king, he says to Pharaoh, he says, what your dream means is that you will have 7 years of plenty, but after that, you will have 7 years of famine. What was he having a revelation of? He was having a revelation of different seasons that were coming on the nation. But he says to the king, he says, for you to be able to survive in the next season of famine, this is what you need to do today. Now, he was saying there are things that you need to do in the current time to be able to not be swallowed by the season of famine. There are people who, now that we're speaking of vision boards, there are people who live in the future but are not doing anything in the now to prepare to enter into that which they are seeing in their spirit. You don't just need a revelation of the future. But you do not just need a revelation of the season. You need a revelation of what to do now. Glory to God. What are the things that you are doing now that will benefit you in the next season of your life? Glory be to Jesus. Say, I receive wisdom to know what to do in the next season. It is not enough to know that there is a recession coming. You need to know, what do I need to do to prepare for recession? We cannot operate blindly and enter into seasons as if God did not reveal them to us. Because sometimes God gives us signs to be able to see what is happening. By human wisdom and human calculation, there are things that you can be able to see that this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Therefore, it requires that I do this so that when this happens, I am ready. Hallelujah. You need to learn how to prepare yourself so that you become the person everybody is looking for in the time of recession. Glory to God. You know, this might sound like an insensitive example, but it is a reality. When COVID hit, there were businesses that already had plans and systems that could carry them no matter what hit them. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, there were businesses that were just operating for now and not doing things that will prepare them for tomorrow. The Bible says, rain came, the wind blew, but my house was built on you. Which means that my house is built on systems that whether rain comes tomorrow or the wind hits tomorrow, I am safe. We cannot afford just to build for today. Hallelujah. We need to be wise enough to know that In life, things happen that we did not plan for. And if they happen, where do I fall? If the wind hits today, will I be able to stand? You know, as much as, you know, there were churches that were affected by COVID, there were those that, through COVID, they were pushed forward. Why? Because the systems that were in place were able to propel them, to put them in a place where they could be visible. I declare over somebody, your story might have been that in the past you were never prepared, but by the mercies of God today, you receive grace to be properly prepared in the name of Jesus. And whatever you lost in seasons of ignorance, today I ask that the mercies of God will bring restoration over your life in the name of Jesus. I decree divine restoration in the name of Jesus. I declare that no matter what is ahead of us in this year, no matter the wind that can ever hit in this year or in the years to come, your house will be built on Christ in Jesus' name. So we see Joseph using the skills of knowledge and wisdom to rearrange, you know, things for the king. And I believe that even as we've been sitting like this, there have been downloads of wisdom, downloads of divine insight. If there is something I want to challenge you to do this year, is to always ask God for wisdom, divine insight. Let the mind of Christ that is in you be activated. The Bible speaking about Jesus says he himself knew what to do. Jesus was never caught unawares. Even when they tricked him, he always had an answer because he himself knew what to do. May that be your, you know, your confession over and over and declare, I know what to do. Something I trained myself to do years ago when I learned of this. I always say, I know what to do. Even when I don't know what to do, I declare it that I know what to do. Because when I say I know what to do, I am activating the mind of Christ in me to give me a solution. I'm placing a demand on my mental faculties to deliver answers to me. Most of us, you know, we don't place a demand on the mind of Christ in us. Learn to place a demand. Don't just say, it's difficult, I can't do it. Don't just say, no, it's hard. Just because it's hard for somebody doesn't mean it should be hard for you. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Joseph became very powerful. The king depended on him. You know, we are in a season where the Bible says, arise, for your light has come, and kings shall come to your rising. Amen. Kings are coming to you. Let me tell you who kings are looking for. Kings are looking for dependable people. One of the things you must learn to do this year is to be dependable. That when they give you a job and they give you a contract, they can close their eyes and be sure that you will deliver, and you will deliver to the latter end. That you will deliver quality, you will deliver excellence. You will give it your all. Hallelujah. He said, the only thing, so the king said to Joseph, the only thing that will be more powerful than you is the throne is the throne that I'm giving you, putting you in charge of. So God positioned him for the day to come. Glory be to Jesus. Now, it happened that a famine hit the land. When a famine hit the land, everybody was looking for food. When they were looking for food, they heard that there is food, there is abundance. You know, Jacob heard that there is abundance in Egypt. And he sent his children to go and buy food in Egypt. Resources were not his problem. Because sometimes money is not all you need. Because Jacob had the money. That is why he was able to fuel all the cars and all whatever they had to go and say, go to Egypt, go and look for food. Hallelujah. And when they got there, they did not know that their brother was the one that was in charge of the food. They did not know that, you know what? This is the same person that we persecuted. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? The Bible says, you know, that his own did not know him. He went to his own, and to his own did not recognize him. That will not be your story this year in the name of Jesus. You will know Jesus. You will recognize him. In the name of Jesus. So they got there and they saw Joseph. You know, sometimes people who do not recognize you are normally people that did you wrong, because they assume that when they do you wrong, you will remain where they left you. So they are looking at you at the eyes of where they left you. They don't recognize that God has transformed you into a prime minister. And they still want to treat you as a sold slave. Meanwhile, you are now a prime minister. I declare over you that this year, as you continue to seek God and make him number one in your life, he will so transform your life that those who left you where they thought it's over, they will look at you face to face and not be able to recognize you. In the name of Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. God used the same Joseph to rescue them. So eventually Joseph sent for his father to come. The father moved the entire family to Egypt. That included all his children, their wives, and their children, and everyone that had the name Israel. Because remember, God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. So that is how they moved. They found themselves in Egypt. When they got to Egypt, Joseph spoke to Pharaoh because he had the power of influence with the king. This year, by light, you will not just influence down, but you'll also influence up. Many of us can influence down, but very few can influence up. Many have the ears of the masses, but they don't have the ears of the king. It is important to have the ears of the masses, but it is a different level also to have the ears of the king. I declare over your life today that the people that matter will listen to your wisdom in the name of Jesus. They will listen to the solutions you're bringing in the name of Jesus. And Joseph then makes a bold request to Pharaoh. And I want to challenge you that in this season and for the rest of your life, learn to make bold requests to God. Learn to make bold requests to God. There's a whole teaching I want to do on making bold requests to God. That's not my teaching tonight. He made a request and he said, give me a place for my family. Not just a place, but a big place. How do I know that it was a big place? The place was big enough to accommodate 2 million people. The land that he asked for his father, his brothers, and their wives was big enough to accommodate 2 million people. He said, give us a land here in Egypt. He requested, you know, specifically for his people. Listen to what the Bible says, because some of you are trusting God for property this year. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 16, from verse 5 to 6, the Bible says, he maintains my lot, and he causes my line to fall on pleasant places. This land was not an ordinary land. It was the most fertile part of the land. It was the most fruitful part of the land. When the Lord is your portion and he maintains your lot, he will always cause you to find, you know, land that is productive and land that is fertile. You know, it reminded me of a story of a people in the book of 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 19. I want us to read what they say about the land they got. It says, one day the elders of the town of Jericho visited Elisha. We have a problem, my lord, they told him. This town is located in pleasant surroundings, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. They said the position of this business is good, but the water is not sweet and the land is not productive. The message translation says, but nothing grows in it. This, the GNBUK translation, it says it causes miscarriages. Hallelujah. I want to tell you for free that where you are in life, positioning determines who sees you and who you see. Where you are determines who you service, because where you are is critical and it's powerful. I remember when we were still at Corner Excelsior, as much as people loved what was pastor was preaching, as much as people loved what was happening in the house, the positioning was not good because people did not feel safe there. People did not feel that this is a place I can come into. And God began to speak to us about, you know, moving and shifting and repositioning, putting yourself where your land becomes productive. Some of you have brilliant businesses, brilliant ideas, but where you are positioned is making you look like you're doing nothing. And as God speaks to you in this season, you will begin to make the necessary adjustments in the name of Jesus. God will give you favor in the land and favor with the land in the name of Jesus. That location was given to them was called Goshen. They lived in Goshen. They thrived in Goshen. Listen, when God positions you properly, where He positions you, you thrive. You prosper. You grow there. They did not just grow, but they began to grow to a point where they began to outnumber the Egyptians. Actually, Exodus chapter 1 verse 7, it says, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them." That will be your testimony this year in the name of Jesus. You will be fruitful in the name of Jesus. You will increase abundantly in the name of Jesus. You will multiply in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us that a new Pharaoh arose who did not know Joseph. And when he arose, he saw what was happening in the life of the Israelites. And the Bible teaches us that fear gripped him. When fear gripped him, he gave an instruction that, you know, these people must be afflicted and that they must be turned into slaves. So when they came into Egypt, they did not come as slaves. They did not come as slaves. It was at this point, under this instruction, that they now became slaves. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He couldn't understand why are they increasing like this. He could not understand that the covenant of Abraham is at work in them. What is the covenant that God has with Abraham? He says, "Surely in blessing I will bless you. In multiplication I will multiply you." Hallelujah. That is why Pastor was teaching us, I believe last week, about how we are connected to Abraham. Don't joke with that covenant. Learn to evoke it for your advantage. When the woman that was bowed down for 18 years could not rise up, when Jesus wanted to call her to, he says, be made loose. He said, it is an error that this daughter of Abraham is bent down. Jesus was evoking the covenant that God has with Abraham. And instantly she was straightened up. Hallelujah. You're not increasing, you don't see increase in your life. You declare, "I am a seed of Abraham. Increase is my portion." The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 50, he says, "Look at your father, Abraham, out of whom you were brought out of." He says, "I took him to a strange land with nothing. But when he left as a nation." So what was working for them was the covenant of Abraham. Hallelujah. The king did not understand them. He started maltreating them. He turned them into slaves. But they cried out to God. This year you must learn how to cry out to God. When we're talking about crying to God, we don't cry like the world helplessly. When we say I'm crying out to God, we are saying I am calling out to God in faith. I am bringing God to remembrance to His word. That's what Pastor has been teaching us in this series of faith. That you are saying, "God, your word says, your word says, your word says." And when they cried out to God, God remembered His covenant with Abraham. Does that mean that God forgets? Nope, He doesn't. But for God to do anything in your life, He needs you to be a willing participant. It was when they discovered what God said to Abraham, that we should have been out of here 430 years ago. We have been here longer than we should. And they began to cry out to God. And God, you know, God's solution was to send them a deliverer. But like Jesus, their deliverer came as a baby. Ooh. Their deliverer came in a way that they did not recognize him. Hallelujah. And through, you know, the diviners, Pharaoh began to, you know, he was always going to see sangomas throwing bones and this. And they told him that the people have cried out and God is sending them a deliverer. So he sent an instruction. He said, look for every child that is a boy. Anyone under 2 years and down, make sure you kill them. We see the same thing. The other Herod, who had the same spirit of Pharaoh, doing that to kill our deliverer. The same way that this one did not succeed, they could not succeed with Jesus. Actually, when he gave that instruction, the Bible says that there were midwives who began to protect the interests of God. They said, we will not do it. We will not kill anybody. We will not kill these boys. Hallelujah. And God said, you know, I've never shared this with anyone. I don't remember sharing it in church. Maybe I might have shared it. But I remember when I was trusting God for marriage, I was not actively praying about it. That God, I want a man. No. I was just too focused on God. I was just serving him with all my heart. I was just, you know, genuine and committed to the service of God. And one day as I was reading this scripture, God began to speak to me. Exodus chapter 1 verse 17. It says, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men's children alive. Verse 21 says, and because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Holy Spirit said to me, because you have preserved my cause, you have shown interest in what I show interest in, you have shown commitment to what I show commitment in, I will bless you with your own family. I can trust you with my cause. And I want to give that as a secret and as a light for someone that has been trusting God for marriage for the long time. And it looks like nothing is happening. As you commit yourself to his cause, may God bless you with your own family in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when Moses was born, his mother was troubled. She hid him for 3 months, then took him to the river and left him there. Now, understand that what God puts in your hand, he's able to sustain it. Very important. Hallelujah. God trusted this woman with Moses and knew that he can sustain it. I know that there is a mother probably here that is worried about the child that God has trusted you with. That child wants to go to school. And you are like, God, I'm even a single parent. How am I going to pay for everything? You're calculating in your mind, looking for human solutions. Listen, in all of her calculation, Jacobeth would never have guessed that God can give this boy, tuition, accommodation, and feeding money. Because what happened is that God, through Pharaoh's wife, took this boy and took him straight to the palace, where he was not just trained by the best of schools, but he was also trained to be the next Pharaoh. Because they treated him like he was Potiphar's wife's child. That is why he was the right person for God to use. Moses knew every corner. He knew every strategy of Egypt. He knew the system of the day. God made sure that he paid for this boy's training. God made sure that he paid for this boy's accommodation. God made sure that he paid for this boy's feeding. As if that is not enough, Pastor Sam. God took the mother and got her to be paid for taking care of the boy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is a word for a mother here today. That is a word for a father who are here today. You have been crying, well, how am I going to take this child to school? I declare over your life supernatural provision in the name of Jesus. God will take care of the tuition. He will take care of the accommodation. And he will take care of the feeding in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Say, God will take care of me. Now, something in Moses was already telling him that you are a deliverer. There was no prophet to tell him. There was no pastor to tell him. But something in him was boiling that you are a deliverer. As part of that boiling passion, because you know sometimes when calling speaks or passion speaks, it's too hot. That's why he made that as a mistake of stepping out too early. The Bible tells us that one day he was walking and he went to where the Israelites were working, and he saw the Egyptian beating one of the Hebrews. That fire in him jumped and he killed the Egyptian. What was doing that? It was an untrained deliverer in him, unmentored deliverer, a deliverer that has stepped out too fast, too early, and he killed when he didn't understand that his assignment was not to kill but to deliver. Because when a grace is not trained, it can cause damage. Now he jumps out too early and then he covers the corpse, and he walks, because in his mind nobody saw him. The Bible tells us the following day he now sees two Hebrews fighting each other. He's like, you shouldn't be fighting each other. Our enemy is the Egyptians. Why are you fighting each other? He wants now to jump in to rescue. And one of them says, oh, you want to kill me the same way you killed the Egyptian. And then at that moment, he realizes that what he thought is a secret is not a secret. And he went to run. I want to talk to a parent, or I want to talk to somebody. You might be a husband, you might be a parent, and you did something, a drastic mistake that has cost you dearly. You stepped out too quickly. You made a mistake in business that has cost you dearly, because you stepped out before time. You could perceive in your spirit that this is what God wants you to do, but you did not wait for his go and you went. And because you stepped out early, before systems were put in place for you to step on, you have entered into error. As we're speaking now, maybe the hawks are looking for you. As we are speaking right now, maybe you have even entered into business with wrong people and they are hunting for your life. Today, I stand as a mother to plead for the mercy of God on your behalf. I plead for the mercy of God for your rescue. Listen, don't underestimate the power of a mother. The Bible says on the cross of Calvary, Jesus was hanging with two sinners. They deserved their penalty. He did not deserve it. But one of the mother stepped up and said to Jesus, have mercy on my sons. Can they be with you? Can you take them where you're taking them? And Jesus saw the heart of the mother and he rescued the children. Today I step in my matriarchal assignment to plead on your behalf. Let the mercy of God intervene in the name of Jesus. What has cost you to run? What has cost you to hide? Let mercy locate you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But I have a word of warning for you. When the mercy of God rescues you, don't go back. Because the mercy of God has gone into action. Mercy causes us to receive the judgment that we don't deserve, because mercy pleads on our behalf. Hallelujah. God will show you mercy in the name of Jesus. And we see now Moses is on the run. And where he has run to, this is a young man that his destiny was to shepherd the nation.
But he finds himself shepherding sheep. Why? Simply because he stepped out too early. He finds himself shepherding sheep when he's supposed to be a deliverer of a nation. Hallelujah. He finds himself with the label of a murderer when his true label should be deliverer. But I know a God who knows how to leave the 99 and look for the one. The mercy of God went to find him in the bush. That season that God allowed him to stay under Jethro, his father-in-law, was so that he can train. He can train the call. That he can train the passion. Some of you think you are here by mistake. You are not. There are some of you that God wants to cause you to do exploits for your generation. God brings you under a warrior who will not be gentle with you, who will stretch you, who will pull you, and you feel like, it's too hard, and you jump up too quickly. God is too smart. When God puts you under a warrior like this, it is because he sees the magnitude of your assignment. The only thing is you don't have a revelation of it yet. You want to be treated like an egg when God is calling you to be toughened. God will always put you under a grace that your assignment and calling demands. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. And let me just try and rush it and wrap it quickly. Now, God says to him, go back to what you're running from. And I speak to someone here today. Go back to what you're running from. God says to him, when you get there, tell them that I am sent you. This year, there are things that will question who sent you. Why are you in this office? Why are you in this marriage? Why you? Why are you doing this? Who sent you? You need to be able to answer and declare, I am sent me. Hallelujah. Everything that is going wrong in your life, it is questioning the authority of who sent you. When he said, I am, what he meant was that I am good for all situations. No matter what situation you come across, when you say, I am, it will bow to that situation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God says to him, my power will go with you. You're not going alone. He says, my power will go with you. When he gets there, however, Pharaoh becomes very stubborn. And out of his stubbornness, God begins to release plagues. And then we saw the plagues that we studied last week, right? It became too dark. And people could not rise. Nobody could move forward and all that. That darkness could not enter into Goshen. As dark as it was outside, it could not enter into Goshen. Hallelujah. Because they were where God positioned them to be. As you position yourself where God wants you to be, that darkness will not enter in the name of Jesus. There's a very crucial section I wanted to touch, but my time is gone. And by the mercies of God and by the grace of God, I really want to finish the other part, because without it, you will make a lot of errors. Goshen is not only a physical place. Goshen is you. The light, the darkness that is outside must not enter into you. The light must shine in you. Let me give you a secret. Everything that is on your prayer card, for God to deliver it, it's not going to come from outside. It's going to come from inside. That's why when you allow the power of his light to work in you, everything in your card will be answered just like that. Because I've shared with you how this works. We are three-dimensional beings, right? So we are body, soul, and spirit. When the soul is dark, there is a disconnection between the spirit and the flesh. Because everything you are asking for is in the realm of the spirit. For it to be moved, it must be transported through your soul. So you're pulling something that is holy and you want it to pass through a dark soul into the flesh realm. How does that work? Therefore, you need to always ask God to work in you and on you. One of the people that encountered light in scriptures is Saul of Tarsus. He was a murderer. And one day the Bible says he was struck by light. When he was struck by light, he recognized that the only person who could meet me like this must be God. Nobody preached to Saul. He said, Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because whenever you encounter genuine light, something in you tells you, God, I need to know what you want me to do. Because when we ask that, God begins to instruct. Some of you have never had instructions from God because you have never asked him, what do you want me to do? You're always asking God, do this for me, do this for me. You have never asked the question that Saul asked. What do you want me to do? This year, make that your question every day. Father, what do you want me to do? There is nobody that God will not do anything as long as you make yourself relevant to him. The Bible says in his house there are many vessels. Vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Vessels of honor are those who say, I make you my priority. Let's stand on our feet. That is in the world, which I don't have time to show you now. Darkness, whenever darkness comes for somebody, it doesn't come all at once and blanket you. It enters small, 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 and it becomes a big thing. You start by saying, oh, I'm just looking at pictures. The next thing, you're watching pornography. The next thing, you are deep, you don't know how to come out. Because now the darkness has blanketed you. Small, small. You start flirting a bit with that sister who is not your wife. We're just chatting. And then we start flirting. Then the next thing, the conversation graduates. The next thing, you have ended up in her bed and you're married to her. That's how darkness starts. Mind that the power that dwells in you will work and will walk in light in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our voice and thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.